One thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
Hallelujah.
I want to share with you an important message that's going to take you into the year 2025. When I think of what the Lord said, themes the year 2025 for His children around the world, I think that it's very, very significant. Very significant. It means a lot. And I perceive from the message that we might as well begin our countdown to the Lord's soon return. And I'm very serious. In the weeks and months ahead, I'm going to be sharing some very important things with you that will help you on your way. So as we learn of what the Lord has in mind, you'd understand the significance of this. I want to read a couple of verses to begin with. James chapter 1 and verse number 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that he may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The following verses that I read to you, including this one, are actually best in the King James Version. I looked through several translations, and I observed that in most of them, what they tried to do was not really to translate. They tried to explain. And there's a huge difference between translation and explanation. So several of them were trying to explain in the course of their translation. But the King James captures it most perfectly by giving you just the right words that translate the best from the Greek. So I'll read that again to you. It says, but let patience have her perfect work, that he may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And I want you to observe two key words there, perfect and entire. Perfect is from the Greek teleos. And entire, holokleros. And the reason for that is because of what they really mean. Perfect means complete. That's another synonym for the same word. And you actually find in the King James Version, several places with that word, complete, perfect, teleos. Holokleros, on the other hand, that's translated entire, is also very significant because it means complete in every part. And I want you to observe what follows it. It says entire, wanting nothing. That means nothing that is needed is missing. It is whole. And I want you to go to Colossians chapter 4. Verse number 12. Paul, in writing to this church, he says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that he may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Perfect and complete. Again, the word perfect from the same Greek, teleos. And this time he picks another word, which is translated here, complete. Peroo. Peroo is translated complete here. It actually means to be full. Be full, to be replete. And that is very significant. To be replete. Question is, full of what? Replete with what? This year that we are entering, you would need to be more conscious of who you are in Christ. You would need to be much more conscious than ever before about what Christ is to you, who Christ is to you, what Christ means to you. As I've said a number of times, Christianity is not a religion. Only those who don't understand Christianity think it's a religion. It's not a religion. When you understand the truths about Christianity, you discover it's not a religion. It's a relationship. A relationship with your dad is not a religion. Christianity is no religion. It is the description of the life of Christ in the human being. It is Christ at work in a human body. When you say that you receive Christ into you, you are not making a religious statement, as many people think. It's reality. The problem is not many know what Christ even means. What's the meaning of the word Christ? They don't know what Christ is. What Christ actually is, what in the Hebrew was called Messiah. Messiah, the anointed one, from the Old Testament, you find Messiah. In the New Testament, it's Christ. But they're referring to the same person. And what the Jews understood by the Messiah was the Son of Man, Daniel's Son of Man, the one described by the prophet Daniel as the Son of Man. And who was the Son of Man according to the prophet Daniel? You remember when Jesus called himself Son of Man and made certain statements regarding the Son of Man, the Jewish leaders said to him, "Who is this Son of Man?" They wanted to know, who is this Son of Man? And Jesus, in his teaching, made references to the prophecies of Daniel the prophet. To let us know, he corroborated Daniel's prophecy. That is significant. The Son of Man is the description of Son of God. Son of God means God in human flesh. It doesn't mean one born by God. That's why when Jesus said he was the Son of God, they said it was blasphemy. They wanted to kill him. They said, "You are a man and you're making yourself equal with God." The Messiah is God manifest in flesh. That is the meaning of Christ. When you say Christ, when you say Jesus is the Christ, you mean Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. That was what Jesus was crucified for. Never forget it. He was crucified for declaring that he was the Christ. When the high priest said to him, "Tell us, are you the Christ?" And Jesus said, "Yes." He answered in the affirmative. And once Jesus answered in the affirmative that he was the Christ, the high priest tore his robe. He said, "You have heard him yourself. This is blasphemy. He has declared himself to be equal with God." Jesus was condemned to death. But it turned out he was right. The importance of that is when you receive Christ into your life, his life, which he brought to the world, is made manifest in you. I'm going to show you a few things tonight that will help you. So as you journey into 2025, become conscious of what the Bible says. Many of you would need to go to church. There are many who don't go to church. Start now. Because in church, you will learn the Word of God. You have to learn the Word of God. You have to know the Word of God. There's so much information today that's competing for your attention. So when are you going to study the Word of God? When are you going to know it? Don't assume you will just know it by thinking. The Scriptures have been given to us to educate us, inform us, culture us in the things of God. And he tells us to study the Scriptures. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures." Paul the Apostle said, "Study the Word." You have to. You have to meditate on the Word. You have to know it. Here he says that Epaphras, a servant of Christ, Colossians 4:12 again, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that he may stand perfect and complete In all the will of God, in all the will of God. That's amazing. Let me take you to another scripture. This year, the Lord said, is the year of completeness. Now you're going to have to listen to the meaning of that and the significance thereof. Do you remember the year of perfection? Look in your Bible now. Look at that, Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Look at it. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that he may stand perfect. Telios. And you had the year of perfection. Next, it says, and complete. Plero. Plero. In all the will of God. A repletion. It also means, that word, plero, also means fulfillment. It means to accomplish a purpose, to bring it to the full. And I said, this is significant. I want to give you these four important points. You got to listen to this. First, I want you to open to Philemon. Because number one, for this year of fulfillment, the first thing is to acknowledge and walk in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel. This year, you're going to acknowledge and walk in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel. Did you know that there is such a thing? You can acknowledge it and walk in it. You have to. Listen, you really don't have a choice than to do that. To not do it is to shortchange your personal life and make huge mistakes. Philemon, go to chapter 1. It's only one chapter. We're reading verse number 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. He says the sharing of your faith, the participation of your faith, this faith in Christ that you have become a part of will become what? Effectual through the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now that you're born again, now that you're in Christ Jesus, there are certain good things that are in you he wants you to take knowledge of. And the word acknowledge in this verse is the word epignosis. It means to have full discernment, a recognition. Epignosis is the knowledge in which the knower relates with that which is known. It's a knowledge with relationship of the object of knowledge. Very important. Your faith will become what? Effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And in the days and weeks ahead, we're going to be sharing some of this during the Your Love World specials. Don't miss them. Don't miss them. Don't miss them. Epignosis is precise and accurate knowledge. How important is that? Precise and accurate knowledge, correct knowledge. You can't get that except from the Word of God. You can't speculate it. You can't get it in science. You can only get it through the knowledge of the Word and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Go to Romans chapter 15, verse 29. Because someone may be asking, is it possible to walk in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel? Absolutely, absolutely. Look at this. Paul plans to visit the Romans, the Roman church, the saints in Rome. Hear what he says. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. If Paul could walk on that, and in that, you too should. In the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. This is where you're going in 2025. You're going to walk in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. Can you say amen? Look at Colossians chapter 1 so you understand what that acknowledgement brings to you, what that epignosis brings to you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. We're going to read it from 9 into 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that he might be filled with the knowledge, the epignosis of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Filled with the knowledge of his will. Look at verse 10. That he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Hallelujah. If you work, if you will live in this dimension, you will be fruitful in every good work. Look at that. Fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Some people are fruitful in their business, but they're not increasing in the knowledge of God. Some are fruitful in other things, but they're not increasing in the knowledge of God. But here, he says, you will be what? Fruitful in every good work. And at the same time, increasing in the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Look at another scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge, the epignosis of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. That means we can come into perfection. Not when we get to heaven. Some people say there's no perfection on earth until you get to heaven. That's a lie. That's why they never get there. Look at this. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ha ha ha. Hallelujah. He says, we can come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where you're going in 2025. The church is coming there. The church is coming there. Church is coming there. The Lord is bringing the church into that state of maturity. Now, you have to understand, when we say that, that doesn't mean that there won't be babies in the Lord who have just given their hearts to Christ at a particular time. That doesn't mean they suddenly grow into maturity. But it is, he's dealing with the nationhood of the church. You get it? It doesn't mean every individual member in that sense, but it means the body of Christ. The body of Christ. That will be the sum total of our understanding. That will be our walk in Christ. That will be the consciousness of the church. Oh my goodness. Lagro sopretila hangredila gasastra hades. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are you following this? Let me show you this. This is powerful. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 24, and I want us to read it from the NIV. Look at the scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. NIV. And to put on the new self. Now that you're born again, you have a new self. He says, live that way. Sink into the new self. Like you sink into your pants. Sink into the new self. Created to be like God. In true righteousness and holiness. Did you see that? You were created to be like God.
Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe He died for me and God raised Him from the dead. I believe He's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through Him and in His name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. If you'd like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +234-812-851-9834 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@level360.com. God bless you.